Well, we've had quite a bit of excitement. And certainly we continue our prayers for Diane. and for Ed as well, of course. She was in a good bit of pain, but hopefully they said they could give her some medicine to help relieve some of that. We talked about our duties and responsibilities to the Lord's church in our Bible study. And right now we'd like to talk to you about Jesus, the friend of sinners. Jumping back into chapter 18, just previous to where we read, where Brother Bob read there in chapter 19, we find another occasion, familiar situation. Jesus deals with a blind man. Verse 35. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Now, when Jesus, the Bible talks about many people, multitudes. Scholars tell us this was thousands of people. Jesus didn't have to advertise when he was going someplace. The people came. They found him. Many times they went with him for days without food just to hear this man speak, to see the great works of God that he did and the many wonderful works. Here is a blind man, and if you were sitting there, kind of picture, you ever pretend like you were blind? We used to do that. There was a game called Blind Man's Bluff. I used to have my brother lead me around by the hand just to see what it was like to be blind, but I didn't trust him. So I kept one eye open. But you know, if you pretend to be blind, that you can open them and just like that you can see. What a blessing that is. But this man couldn't, and Matthew tells us there were two of them. And he names one of them blind Bartimaeus. And he's the man that we're dealing with here in this passage today. So he's sitting there, and as you or I, he could hear the multitude coming. And he would say, like you or I would, what's happening? And they said, well, verse 37, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Well, this blind man already knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. There's a whole lot of people named Jesus back in the day, but this, like Paul of Tarsus, this was Jesus of Nazareth. And so that got his attention. It wasn't some circus going by or some muscle man walking by. This was Jesus. He'd already heard about him. How do I know that? By his reaction. Verse 38, and he cried. I don't know what your version says, but this means he shouted. And wouldn't you? I mean, the throng was great. You know how loud this crowd can get when services are dismissed. But there were thousands. And so he, Jesus, would you come? No. He was yelling. And, of course, it not only got Jesus' attention, but it got the crowd's attention. Verse 38, he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. What a statement that is. It shows he knows some of the law too, doesn't he? He knew who this Messiah that was coming was and that this man was him. There was no doubt. So he wasn't some ignorant blind man. He'd been paying attention. Have mercy on me, thou Son of David. And look at verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him. Hey, hold it down over there. Hold it down. Just calm down, would you please? But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You're not going to go by unless I get your attention or make my best attempt, and somebody telling me to shut up is not going to happen. Verse 40, and Jesus stood, he stopped, and commanded him to be brought unto him. Why didn't Jesus go to him? The Bible refers many times to the press, not the media, but to the great crowd of people. Do you ever go to a stadium where there's thousands of people and you're walking in? What if you were the item everybody was looking to? That's why these athletes today, they have to sneak in an auditorium where they can't be out in the crowd. They could be hurt. And all of the press. Remember when the lady that had an issue, that she just touched Jesus' garment and he said, "Who touched me?" And the apostle said, "Oh, duh. What do you mean, who touched you? You're pressed." "Bring him to me," Jesus said. Verse 41, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Did Jesus not know? Yes, he knew, didn't he? "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Now, a lot of people today say, well, that means he just saved by faith alone. See, right there. What are they forgetting? The rest of the story. All that Jesus, and under what law was this blind man living and Jesus living? Under the old law. See, he wasn't required to be baptized, so he was saved by faith. No. Wrong law. "Thy faith hath saved thee." That's why he did not calm down when they told him to. Because he knew who Jesus was and that this Jesus, his influence had already spread even to this man. Was Jesus a friend of sinners? Over and over we hear him say, "I came to save the sick, to heal the sick, to save the lost," over and over when he was tried. "Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Would you not do the same? Yes. Is Diane going to be grateful when she receives help and medicine to get rid of this pain and be grateful? If you've been there, done that, you know. Yes, thank you. But to have your sight, immediately he received his sight, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. One of the purposes for the miracles. See, again, we said Jesus didn't have to advertise. He didn't send out the 12 apostles to go to Jericho before Jesus is coming to Jericho. No, they knew where he was, and they were where he was. By the thousands. Then jumping into chapter 19, here's another story of the friend of sinners. You can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just there could be a ton of lessons where Jesus does this same thing, not only to individuals, but to multitudes, or to a few people, the 10 lepers, and the multitudes that he fed, the 5,000, the 4,000, and on we could go. As Bob read so well, he came and he met Zacchaeus there, the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. That's a whole lot said about this man. He was rich. But did you know he was a Benedict Arnold? He was taking taxes and giving them to the hated Romans. I thought about what if Adolf Hitler back in the 40s had taken over the United States, and we were having to pay him taxes. And here I come in here today with a swastika on my arm, and I'm demanding taxes from you so that I could give them to Uncle Adolf. "Oh, good, Brother Moe's here." "No, you're not going to take too kindly to me, are you?" You know what they thought of the tax collectors? And many of them were unlawfully so, taking more than they should for their own wealth. And this man, the Bible says, was rich. and verse 2, or verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. There's our word. There were so many people around him, he could not see Jesus. You remember going to parades? Sometimes we set our children on our shoulders. Why? So they can see. Or those that didn't, they run along the side so they can see what's coming. Okay, I did too. And to get the candy. But Zacchaeus ran. He ran before. Well, let's end of verse 3. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. Scholars tell us he was probably around 5 feet tall. So he was a rich man, very well-known man, a hated individual. But he had to see Jesus. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You know, this was Zacchaeus' tree of life, wasn't it? That he climbed. And then verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. All the crowd, all the people that were around him, surrounding him, pressing against him, hard to even walk. And he comes to this tree and stops and looks up. And you know what? He calls this man that he'd never seen by his name. I thought, if I climb that tree and he looks up there, I've never seen you before. I'm looking down. Everybody looked down on Zacchaeus but Jesus, didn't they? He looked up and called the man by his name when he saw him. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Man, that was a statement filled with potential problems for Jesus. Make haste. And the people are thinking, what? You're kidding me. Do you know who he is? If you did, you wouldn't be inviting yourself to his house. Nobody likes the scoundrel. But look what he did. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Wow. Did he expect that to occur when he climbed that tree, when he left home that morning and he was trying to see who he was? Which one is him? Like the blind man, he knew, he'd heard, but I've got to see him. And because of his effort, well, what's the crowd going to do? Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured. What do you think they're saying? That he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Is that a compliment? It is to Jesus. What did he come to seek and to save? Didn't he tell us in the book of Luke as well of the shepherd with the 99 sheep and one that's lost? What did he do? He went after the lost one, didn't he? Yes, he did. Was Jesus a friend of sinners? Is he still a friend of sinners? We sing the song, I'll be a friend to Jesus. You know why? Because he's a friend to you. He's the best friend you ever had. Has he been long suffering with you? Shake your head this way. You want to write down all the sins you've ever committed, either by thought or deed, and yet you can be forgiven? Do you know what you deserve? And what he promised. Over and over and over we repent, or should. And he said, I'm not sure. You're kind of testing my patience. No, when we truly repent, as the song says, repent, truly repent, this man is a sinner. He's a great sinner. Everybody knows this about him. And why are you going to his house? And Zacchaeus, verse 8, stood and said unto him, unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. There's a great bit of argument about whether this he was going to start doing this now, or he had been the hated tax collector that they all were, generally speaking. But we'll not argue about that. And hopefully, if he wasn't the kind of man that he ought to be, this statement is saying, I'm doing it, I'm going to do right. Or even better, he might have been lumped in with all the bad tax collectors, like we have some good politicians. Let me know. Sometimes we lump them all together, right? And Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house. What'd the crowd say? He can't be who we think he is, because he's dealing with sinners. Jesus was the friend of sinners. Wow. Let's go back to in the book of Luke. About chapter 7, I believe it is. And verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. We're going to sit down to eat in here just a little bit. Arnold tells me he's really hungry, so keep it short. We're going to sit down, aren't we? Well, they didn't sit down. They were lying down on a couch. And generally, if you're right-handed, you're going to lie on your left arm and eat. Seems rather inconvenient, but what big kitchens we'd have to have, or dining rooms. Get me stretched out on anyway, but so Come to my house, Simon says. And behold, verse 37 of Luke 7. Behold, a woman of the city which was a sinner. And that word, she was well known, like Zacchaeus. And the word means a notorious sinner. A very ungodly, immoral woman. The woman which was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, very expensive. Okay, picture her living an ungodly, immoral life. Oh, there's a man eating, so I'm going to go do that. No, she knew about Jesus, didn't she? She'd heard about Jesus. People were not keeping quiet. As Paul said in the book of Acts to King Agrippa, this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus was out there in the city, as he said, when they came to take him to crucify him. I was in your streets every day teaching. And he was. She was a notorious sinner, which she knew that when she knew that Jesus sat at meat, brought an alabaster box of ointment, verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. All right, you've got the picture of him lying on the couch and she's standing behind his feet weeping. How much is she weeping? How badly is this weeping? Verse and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You've done that? What'd that show about her? She had some faith, didn't she? She had some humility. How am I doing? What am I doing to people? Am I like the crowd? Look at verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. Did you ever do that? Have a thought? He spake within himself, not out loud, but within himself, saying, this man, if he knew, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Look at verse 40. How does it start? And Jesus answering. What was he answering? His thought. He spake within himself, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her do that. Jesus answering said, I have something somewhat to say to thee. And he said, Master, say on. Because he didn't know what Jesus knew. His thought. There, Jesus said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, thinking that this didn't have anything to do with what he was thinking about, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, did you ever talk to somebody looking somewhere else? He turned to the woman and said, what did he say to Simon? Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Who was the little lover? Simon, wasn't it? Jesus wasn't afraid to expose somebody right to their face. I think the expression used to be, in your face. Jesus wasn't doing it to be mean and cruel, but as he did to the scribes and the Pharisees to show their hypocrisy. If you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her be touching you. Well, I don't know about you, but I think I'd have to swallow hard, wouldn't you? How do you know what I was thinking? Does he know what you're thinking? Shake your head this way. Right now he knows what you're thinking? Well, you're the one talking. Does he pay attention to what I'm thinking? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, our last point. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, verse 1 said. You know why I did that? Do you ever need time alone? Sure. Sure we do. And Jesus would go and pray all night. But then look, it changes. Verse 2. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Just like he did at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he sat down. That was the custom. The teacher sat down. I'm trying to picture this with all the crowd around, Jesus sitting down. I'm gonna have to be quiet. I can't be whispering and talking. Hey, what are you going to do after he gets through? Where are we going to go? What are you all going to eat? He sat down and he begins to teach. Verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Taken in the very act. You know why they did that? It wasn't they wanted to fulfill the law of Moses. If they wanted to do that, when they caught her in the very act, they would have taken her and the man that they just didn't happen to bring. And I'll just say this, I think he might have been in with this group. We caught her. Well, it takes two, as I recall, for adultery to be committed. But whether that be so or not, he's not mentioned. They should have taken them out both and done what? If they want to follow the law of Moses, stone them. Not get a lawyer and bargain and barter for years and years and decades. No, no, no. You're gone. Their purpose was to catch Jesus. And again, and as the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, every time they ask him a question, a yes or no question, like we've said here before. Brian, have you quit beating Deb? Yes or no? Yes or no, have you quit beating her? Well, if he says yes, what's that say? That he has been beating her. And if he no, well, then he still is. You see, that's the question they had. If he says, no, don't put her to death. Oh, we got you now. You broke the law of Moses. And if he says, put her to death, they're going to run to the Romans and say, he wants to put her to death. What you going to do about it? Against Roman law. They couldn't do that. So see, they're coming. They got this woman in the very act. Bring her in, and he's teaching quietly, and bam, we've caught her in the very act. Whew. How would you handle that situation? What did Jesus do? They said, verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Come on. Come on. Tell us. Because see, whatever you say, you're dead in the water. Stone her. No. Verse 6, this said they, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They were tempting. They were setting a snare, a trap for him. Come on, come on, walk into it. Come on, come on. We've got the question to ask. Come on, take a step. Yes or no? What should we do? Come on. Didn't they have him? Didn't they have him? What's verse 8 say? Well, verse 6, they tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Do you know what? If I'm one of the Pharisees, one of these men, and Jesus gets down and he starts writing, oh no, we have got him now, because he ain't got no answer. Pardon the grammar. He doesn't have an answer. Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Know-it-all. And, as if he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, can you see him? Come on, come on. What are you going to do? Stoner? Huh? All of them surrounded. Because see, they're high on their little bandwagon now. We got him. We're going to embarrass him in front of all the people. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. That was the law. That was the law. God's law. So as we said earlier, if they had been as honest with the law of Moses, she'd already been stoned, along with her caught red-handed partner. But that's not why they came, was it? All the people were there, and they came to embarrass Jesus, and who turned and left with their tail tucked between their legs? Go ahead, you that are without sin. Give them a little credit here for having a conscience. Cast the first stone. Eight, and he again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know, this is just days before Jesus was crucified. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, Jesus couldn't pronounce judgment on her because he had not been a witness. See that? They had him. He was not the judge. He didn't see what they said happened. They didn't do what was right. They were hypocrites. And you know, instead of humiliating Jesus, do you know who was humiliated again? Read Matthew chapters 21 and 22. They debate with Jesus over and over and over again. And finally it said they didn't dare ask him any more questions. And you know Jesus loves us as much as he loved the blind man, as much as he loved little Zacchaeus, and as much as he loved this woman. And even the woman, the notorious sinner that washed his feet with her tears. The song says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Powerful, isn't it? And you read these examples and read this, read these gospel accounts of Jesus with those thoughts in mind. Wow, did he love sinners or what? No matter what the people said about him, he knew what they were going to say about him. But it didn't stop him from trying to save the lost. Those that are healthy, he said, don't need a physician. So he said, I go to the sick. Has he come to you? Are you going to turn and walk out like those hypocrites did in the temple? You've heard, you know what is right. You know what is right to do. Will you admit, will you confess to sin? Repent of that sin. Ask God to forgive you if you are his child, and he will. And you can do that right in your seat. You can do that in your car. You can do that in your house. You can do that at work. And it doesn't have to be a long, wordy prayer to get God's attention. How about, Lord, forgive me? Remember what the publican said? For I am a sinner. literally translated, he said, I am the sinner. Not just one of many, I am the sinner. Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. And when we feel like that, we'll want to do what they did. Have a penitent heart to be forgiven so that we can live with the one that died for us. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you need that more than you need any food to eat, even air to breathe. Take those away from you. Guess who gives them to you and who loves you so much and showed you how much? If you need to respond, let it be now while we stand, while we sing.